Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Stand to your feet, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12, and we're going to continue our study on the Beatitudes. And we're going to look at what Jesus is saying here to us tonight. Have you enjoyed this study through the Beatitudes? I know that I have. It's been very, very good, I feel like, and inspirational, eye-opening. We could say many different things about it. But let's look at these passages tonight, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, he," speaking of Jesus, "went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.'" We talked about this one last week. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Tonight we're going to talk about this. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Father, we look to your word tonight, and I ask that you would give us the wisdom to be able to see things from your perspective tonight, God. I pray that we would not miss anything that you want to say, but that our hearts, our minds, our ears would be open and receptive. And Lord, I just pray a blessing over the word, and that tonight every heart would be good soil, and that it would reap a harvest, a fruitful harvest, an abundant harvest in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for being here on a Wednesday night. It's so good to see each and every one of you. And I love how our Wednesday nights have grown over the past couple months since we started back having Wednesday nights once we got into this building. And I said it on Sunday morning. If you weren't here, you didn't know, or you weren't listening. Sunday was 1 year that we've been in this building, and just to look around what God has blessed us with and what has taken place in a year, and to think how the church has changed and grown and just, over the past year, it's absolutely amazing. And so I'm so thankful to the Lord. I'm thankful for you guys. I want you to know that Madison and I, we pray for you guys every single day. We lift you up in prayer. Most of the time we try to call you out by name, especially if we know that you have a need in your life, or if you're facing a something, you know, whether it's physical or whether it's emotional. We pray for you guys. We love you, and I want you to know that. I was reading this week when Paul was writing, it would have been in Ephesians, it's in Philippians. And it was yesterday I was reading in Philippians, and he said that to the church there, he said, "You're in our hearts." And I want you guys to know that y'all are in our hearts. We care about you. We don't just show up on Sundays and Wednesdays, but throughout the week we think about you, we care about you, and we love you. And I hope that you know that and you feel that. Let's talk tonight about "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." As we've gone through all of these Beatitudes, and something that I haven't said yet, but one of the reasons that they're called the Beatitudes is that we should be in this attitude. Every one of these statements that Jesus made is something that we should grab hold of and we should apply to our life. These aren't just things that he haphazardly threw out that they sounded good, or they sounded poetic, or they were gripping to somebody, you know. It was something that he's teaching us so that we can base our life upon it. He's instructing us in how we're supposed to build our life. And he shifts in this moment, and I'll talk about that in a second, where he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And what's happening in this is the basic principle of whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap is at play here, okay? You know, that is a kingdom principle. Paul talks about that to the Galatians. He says, do not be deceived, meaning don't lose sight of this truth. Don't let somebody trick you out of it. Don't let them, twist your thought pattern. But do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And I know that in the context of that passage, Paul was actually talking about finances, but it's interesting that he chose to use the word, whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. And this is applied here where Jesus is saying, you'll be blessed when you're merciful. And you know what you'll get back for being merciful? Mercy. Whatever you sow to people, that shall you also reap. So how you show mercy will determine the mercy that comes your way. Jesus said, if you do not forgive others their trespasses against you, then my heavenly Father will not forgive you in return. What's he saying? The same thing. If you don't show mercy to them, don't expect mercy from God. And it's interesting, most of the references to mercy in the Gospels are when Jesus was passing by and there was someone in dire need of a miracle and they cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you know what the amazing thing about that is? Never once did Jesus walk past them and ignore them. Never once did he go, nah, not for you. Sorry. Not today. I don't have it in me today. I didn't get a good sleep last night. I haven't had my coffee yet. Come back later. Or you've done too much. You're too bad. He never said, no, I don't have time for you. Anytime someone said, will you have mercy on me? Jesus showed mercy because he's a merciful Savior. That's the whole reason that we are sitting here tonight is because God is a God of mercy. In fact, Paul says, the reason that we can be children of God is because we have been shown mercy. Because God revealed to us mercy, and the mercy was Jesus going to the cross, and it was him taking our place. But how we respond to somebody when they wrong us, how we respond to someone when they fall into difficulty or when someone is in need, it screams volumes about your own heart and your own character. When someone is in need of mercy, how you respond says a lot about who you are. Whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, whether it's your neighbor that you barely know. We're called to show mercy. It's interesting to me that at this point in the Beatitudes, Jesus is actually changing his tone. Because up until this point, everything that he has said has been about our, like, personally to us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's talking to us. If you're poor in spirit, guess what? Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. When you mourn, you're going to be comforted. Blessed are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for they shall be filled. But then all of a sudden he says, hang on, now that you understand all of those things, what I will do for you if you will do this, now let's talk about what you need to do for other people. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. So now he begins talking about character and how we treat other people. Because once we realize what God will do for us, now we need to understand that what he's done for us, we need to turn around and show to other people. So mercy brings others into the scenario. And so Jesus has shown us what he'll do for us. Now he's showing us and telling us what we should do for others. And in order to receive mercy, and I don't know about you, but I want mercy in my life. I want the mercy of Christ. I want the mercy of God to be on my life all the time. In order to receive mercy, what do we have to do? Be merciful, right? So let's talk about this. Let's define and break down what is mercy. Very simply, it's compassion and it's pity, okay? Compassion and pity. Now, we are okay with mercy. Like, how many of you would say, I need mercy, right? Yeah. But if I asked previously, don't raise your hand. If I said, who needs pity? Probably no one would raise their hand. Because there's a sense of pride inside of us, like, I don't need pity from anybody. Why would I want anyone to pity me? I'm not pitiful, right? Because the only people that need pity are pitiful people. And I'm not a pitiful person, so therefore, I don't need pity. Oh, but I need mercy, not realizing mercy is pity. What we really needed from God and what we got from God was he looked down from heaven upon his creation And even though we're his highest form of creation, he still looked down and saw pitiful people. Because in our own strength, in comparison to him, we are very, very pitiful. And so we don't like thinking that we need pity because only pitiful people need pity. So the word pitiful means inadequate or unable to provide for oneself or unable to better oneself. And so we would think, that's not me. I'm not inadequate. I'm not unable to provide for myself. You know, we might look at someone that has fallen upon hard times and they don't have somewhere to live and maybe they don't have a job and we would go, that's so pitiful. I have pity for them. But me, I've got a job and I've got a house and I've got plenty of food to eat. I'm not pitiful. I'm not talking about in a natural sense. No, in a spiritual sense, we have to understand, just like where Jesus started, blessed are the poor, not in natural things, but blessed are the poor in spirit, meaning those that realize the only way that I'm going to get to the place of righteousness and peace and joy and true satisfaction and fulfillment is from him. Everything I need has to come from him. And I have to understand that I needed pity from God. And I still need pity from God because I can't save myself. I can't heal myself. I can't forgive my own sins. I can't deliver myself. I can't set myself free. I cannot take sins that are like scarlet and make them white as snow. Only he can do that. And so, as I referenced earlier, our righteousness is like filthy rags. So that makes us pitiful. In fact, there's a passage, it's either in Isaiah or Jeremiah, and he says, when I walked by, I saw you struggling in your own blood. That's how pitiful and pitiable we were. Where's it at, babe? Ezekiel. Madison is my resident prophet book. She knows all the prophets. I'm just like, yeah, one of them saw like stuff coming up out of the river and picked them up. Like I read the prophets, but I am not very strong in the prophets. So I will just admit that. So Madison always sets me straight. Ezekiel, I saw you struggling in your own blood. And that's how pitiful we are to God. And so all of us deserve, if we're being just straight up, every single one of you in here, every single one of us in here deserves hell. Even right now, we still deserve it. Even as good as you're trying to be, I paid my tithes this week. I have tried to not say mean things to people. I don't lie. I don't cheat. Guess what? You still deserve to go to hell. But you don't have to. And you're not going to. Why? Because of mercy. Because you may ask, well, what is the difference between grace and mercy? Okay? Grace is unmerited favor. That means you can't do anything to earn it, and he's going to give it anyways. He gave it to everybody. So grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Okay? So that's why I say mercy is the roadblock between you and hell, because you deserved hell, and you were doing a great job of getting there on your own. All of us were. But mercy stepped in and said, I'm going to hold back the punishment that you deserve. I'm going to give you an example of this in my life. A couple years ago, I got invited by a church in Gadsden Christian Fellowship. Pastor Johnny asked me, they were doing a men's golf retreat down in Georgia at Callaway Gardens. And he said, would you like to come down and play golf with us and speak to the men at the retreat? And I said, are you kidding me? That's like I get to play golf and talk about the Bible. Like, is this for real? Like, are you joking with me right now? And he's like, no, yeah, I'm for real. And so I wanted to go down, but at the time we only had one car and we had three children, or maybe two. I think we had two at this point. Yeah, we had two. Bethel was a baby. And so I was like, yeah, I want to come, but I've got to figure out a way to get there. And so I called my grandfather, Brother Dub, and I said, Granddaddy, can I borrow your Lincoln Town car to drive to Georgia? And so Nathan Cunningham and myself rode down to Georgia in this 48-foot Lincoln Town car And it didn't have a CD player or an aux player, but it had a tape player and a tape with a cord connected to it that you could plug into your phone with the worst sound system it was like, you can call it a luxury car, but it was not a luxury sound system, okay? So we were roughing it for Jesus to get down there to Georgia because we couldn't even listen to good music. And so we get down there. We have a great time playing golf and hanging out. I come back. I drop Nate Dogg off in Southside. That's where he was living at the time. And I get to Atala, and Madison was at the church in Scottsboro. And I called her, and I asked her if she needed me to stop by the house to get anything. And this was going to determine which way I went home, okay? If I went the interstate and came up here through Fort Payne, or if I went through, like, Albertville and Boaz and all that stuff, okay? So she says, no, I don't need anything. Well, then she calls back and says, no, actually, I need a bottle. So I've turned in an O'Reilly auto parts store. And I turn around, and I'm like, all right. And I go to go through, like, Albertville and Boaz. And I realize I may have turned the wrong direction. I'm not quite sure. I've gotten kind of turned around at this point. I'm not very familiar with Atala. And so I decide I'm going to look it up on my GPS to make sure I'm going the right way while I'm driving. And I'm about to hit go, and I run right into the back of a Saturn at a stoplight, and just crushed the front of my grandfather's car. And the other guy's car, you couldn't tell what had happened to it because I think it looked like that before I hit him. and he was fine. He wasn't mad or like he was like totally chill, totally cool. I'm pretty sure why he was so chill. you get what I'm talking about, but. You know, he was medicated, we'll say that. And but I am just freaking out, right? Because I have just ruined my grandfather's car. I mean, the whole front end is like just folded up in half. And so he sends my brother and my brother-in-law Cody with this big old trailer, and we push the car up in the trailer and we take it home. And my grandfather never once, I was like, Granddaddy, I'm so sorry. I'm going to make, he's like, no, it's fine, Spencer. It's fine. It's okay. Everybody, I mean, and he knew, like, it was my fault. Somebody else didn't hit me. I was looking at my phone. Thank God I wasn't on Facebook or something, because that would be really embarrassing. It's still embarrassing to know that I was on my phone and that I wrecked my grandfather's car. But he could have made me pay for that car. He had every right to make me pay for the car. But he didn't. He never brought it up again. Even when I would ask him, Granddaddy, you know, can I do some kind of payment plan or something? No, Spencer, it's fine. I forgive you. It's all good. That's mercy. I deserve to have to pay for that car. But he said, no, it's okay. I chose to let you drive it. You made a mistake, and I forgive you for it. That's mercy. And that's what God did for us. Now, think about this. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The same thing that God did for us, he wants us to do for others. He had compassion on us. He didn't leave us in our mistakes or our failures. So I know that we don't like to think that we don't need pity. Just like I would think, I'm a grown man, I don't need pity. But what did my grandfather do in that moment? He took pity on me. He knew I didn't have the money to pay for that car. So he didn't even attempt to make me. And since we've been shown so much compassion, so much pity, so much love, so much kindness, so much goodness, Jesus is teaching us, be merciful. Now, let's talk about the word merciful. The suffix full in the English language, as you know, merciful, that suffix full, it means to be full of. So anytime you see a word and there's F-U-L at the end of it, it literally means to be full of that. So if it's grateful, that means you're full of gratitude, right? And so that means that to be merciful means to be full of mercy. But you know the other definition of the suffix full is to be characterized by. And I want you to think about that. That means that we should be characterized by mercy. So that if someone were to ask for a description of you, They wouldn't just say they're funny or they're shy or they're an Auburn fan or they like this kind of food or they're into this hobby or they work at this place. That means that someone would characterize you by mercy. If someone said, describe to me Tim Walden, and they said, oh, Tim, he's merciful. That would literally be a part of the character of who he is as a person. And I believe Tim is a merciful person. But in the Greek, it literally does mean to be full of pity. It doesn't mean just, oh, I saw someone, I kind of felt bad. It means I don't have just a little bit of pity. I'm full of compassion. It's like when Jesus looked out upon the multitudes, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion. He didn't just feel bad for them. He was moved to do something. So he sat down and he taught them and he instructed them in order to help them. And when we show mercy or when we are merciful or when we're characterized by mercy, because think about it. God is a God that if you know him for who he actually is and you know the word, if you were asked to describe God, mercy would probably be in the characteristics of God. And so therefore, it should be in the characteristics of his children. There's some characteristics that I have that are just because my parents are my parents. I didn't ask for them. I didn't try to be that way. It just naturally came out. And if we are children of God, then the characteristics that he has, which is mercy, grace, love, compassion, those things should be moving and operational inside of us. And when we show mercy, we're reflecting the image of God to our community, to our neighbors, to our coworkers, that when somebody messes up on your job, that you would not respond with chewing them out, making them feel like an idiot, but instead going, it's okay. I'll show compassion. I'll show mercy. I'll treat them the way God has treated me. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the servant that had been forgiven all those debts? And then he went out and he tried to make somebody that owed him like, you know, less than 10% of what he owed pay up. And he said, he got reported back to the king and the king brought him in. He said, look, I had forgiven you. Why didn't you forgive him? In other words, I didn't make you pay what you owed. I held back the punishment that you were due. Why didn't you do that for him? And then remember what he says. He says, because you did that to him, you're going to go to jail, and you are going to be tormented. Why? Because if you don't show mercy and you're not merciful, you won't obtain mercy. And so this is a big deal in our Christian life and in our walk is when I don't, even in the smallest things, even in, it doesn't matter who it is, if it's your spouse that you've been married to for 40 years, or if it's the person that you work next to every day, or it's your neighbor, when we don't show mercy, guess what? We are restricting ourselves from receiving mercy from God. Let's pray for that person. Let's pray for them. Let's show mercy right now. Lord, I pray for whoever's responding to that call, whoever they're responding to. God, whether it's I can't tell if it's a police or if it's an ambulance or if it's a fire truck, but God, I thank you that you are sovereign, you are great, and there's nothing impossible with you. And so we pray for every person, the responders and those that are in need of attention right now. And I pray that your hand would prove mightily tonight and that you would just reach in and touch. Lord, if there's someone that they don't know you, God, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them right now by an angel or by someone that is there with them to minister to them and help them. And so we just plead the blood of Jesus over that situation. Amen. So one thing I want to show you about God that we should have is, if you'll go with me to the book of Micah chapter 7, and if you'll give me just a few more minutes, and we'll wrap it up. I know we've started school back, and I don't want to hog your time on Wednesday nights. I appreciate you being here. I'm proud of you for being here, but I want to make sure also that when you come, you're getting fed, you're getting taught, and that it's making a difference in your life. We're going to read Micah 7, 18 through 20. I'll give you just a moment to get there. Maybe you're like me, and Micah can be a little hard to find, you know. At some point, you just abandon search and use your phone, right? It's like, I know it's in there somewhere, but I haven't found it yet. You know, Dora the Explorer going through your Bible. Nahum is after it, if you're still struggling. You know, there's always that person that's like, I will not give up. I will find this book because I'm going to go to heaven and I'm not going to miss out on heaven because I couldn't find Micah, right? All right, Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. Micah says, who is a God like you? Let's just go ahead and answer that question. Nobody. There is no other God like him, right? Pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever, thank God, because he delights in mercy. That's the kind of, he's asking a question and then he's answering the question. Who is a God like you? And then he answers the question, you are a God who is pardoning iniquity, passing over the transgression, the remnant of his heritage, and he doesn't retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Listen to verse 19. He will again have compassion on us. Do you remember what mercy is? Mercy is compassion. And he will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. So one thing that we can learn about God is that God delights. That word delights means he takes pleasure in mercy. He's not a God who delights in judgment. He performs judgment because he is just. He can't change who he is. Justice is coming. But he doesn't take pleasure in the judgment. You know what he does take pleasure in? Showing mercy. He delights. And that means that when we show mercy, he delights in us. I say this all the time, but I want you to understand this. The number one priority for every Christian must be pleasing God. Not getting blessed, not removing obstacles or trials from our life. Our number one priority, when our feet hit the ground in the morning, our number one goal is, how do I please God? If it's not, then we're not really serving God. We're still serving ourselves. And you cannot serve God and mammon. And so if our number one goal is, I want to please God, well, this gives us an indicator of the type of thing that pleases God. He delights in mercy. So when we show mercy, God looks down on us and he goes, I am so pleased with you right now. I am delighting in you. And when we are merciful, it unlocks a shower of mercy on us. He goes, you know what? You are merciful. I'm going to throw mercy your way today. I'm going to just shower you with mercy. You know, sometimes we don't extend mercy because our pride is more important than the person that needs mercy getting it. And we think they're not eligible for it. Listen, no one's eligible for mercy. No one will ever meet the standards that go, okay, you know what? Now you've done enough to receive mercy. That's the whole point of it. Grace and mercy is you give it when it's not deserved. He didn't wait until we got our stuff together to go, okay, here's some mercy. He gave it to us. And then as we're merciful, we obtain more mercy. Let's look at Psalm chapter 25, verse 10. It says, I know you can find Psalms. Come on. Psalm 25:10. All the paths of the Lord. I want to reiterate that. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. To such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. The paths means the ways. So literally what this means is, everything that God does, every way of God, every path of God, everything that he does is rooted and grounded in mercy and in truth. So this is obviously the way that he wants us to construct and to live our life. If all of his ways are merciful, then all of our ways should be merciful. That means that we should speak in mercy. We should respond in mercy. We should love in mercy. We should extend mercy even when it's not deserved. Because we could read it this way. Blessed are those who are full of mercy, for they shall receive mercy. But one thing I haven't pointed out yet tonight, and I'm starting to close here, is that he says blessed, which we have talked about over and over again throughout this series, means happy, fulfilled, content, right? So Jesus is literally showing us that if we don't show mercy, we will not be happy. I think sometimes we are so unhappy because our spouse made a rude comment to us, and instead of showing mercy to them, we decided to stay upset at them and go, I can't believe that they would talk to me that way. I can't believe the tone that they did that in. You know, sometimes they didn't even say anything. You know, it's like they're cleaning the kitchen. You're like, you know what? I don't much care for the tone that kitchen's being cleaned in right now, right? Instead of showing mercy, we get frustrated. And then it grows, and next thing you know, you're having to talk until 2 o'clock in the morning, and you don't even remember where it all started, right? And it was because the kitchen was cleaned in the wrong tone. But if we would just show mercy, then we would be happy. Because he says, you're blessed when you're merciful. And sometimes we miss out on that, and we do not live in a merciful manner. And when we don't, we miss out on the contentment, the happiness, the fulfillment, and the blessed life. Happy people are those who have chosen to show mercy. Meaning, they may deserve for me to tell them off right now, but instead I'm going to show them mercy. I remember one of the greatest learning moments in my life. You know, I grew up getting spankings, okay? If that offends you, sorry. I'm not sorry. It just does. It offends you. That's fine. You're entitled to your own opinion. I got spanked as a child. And I remember there was one time when my dad came in. I don't remember what I'd done, but I remember it wasn't good, right? And he came in and he said the whole spiel. You know what I'm talking about. Like, you know, I'm disappointed in you. This is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me. All that kind of stuff, right? And you're sitting there thinking, you're such a liar. This is not going to hurt you more than it hurts me. You know, and now that I'm a parent, I understand what he's saying. But when you're 7, you're like, there's no way that the person holding the belt is going to hurt more than the person receiving the belt. But I remember he went through the whole spiel, told me what I did wrong, how I shouldn't have done it. And then he said, you know what? But to teach you that God's a merciful God, I'm not going to spank you tonight. And I'll never forget that, because it seared in my mind to realize, wow, that's what mercy is. Because I understood in that moment, I don't remember what it was, but it was wrong. Probably hit my sibling or something. I don't know. Like, wow, the pastor beat his siblings. Yeah, you did too, if you had them. Everybody did, right? I was 8, okay? And he let me off the hook. He let me go. And he was showing me and teaching me what mercy looks like. And so when someone does wrong to you, it doesn't mean that they don't deserve punishment. It means you're not going to give it. Now, I'm not talking about child raising, because apparently I believe that if you spare the rod, you will spoil the child. There's a time to punish your children. I'm not saying, hey, show mercy to your kids all the time. That was one time my dad did that. The other 1,048 times I got whooped, okay? But when it comes to dealing with people in life, your spouse, your coworkers, your friends, your family, choose kindness. Choose mercy. Because what you don't realize is when you don't, you're setting a roadblock up for yourself later. You're quenching yourself from the ability to be able to receive mercy. So Jesus says, blessed are those who are characterized by compassion, because they will receive kindness in return. And I don't know about you, but I want to receive mercy from God. So I need to keep this cycle of mercy out so that mercy can come in. So never forget, what you reap is what you sow. So let's look at the book of James really quickly, and then we'll be done. Turn with me there. We're going to go to James, the second chapter. And we'll just start reading in verse 2. And I'll close with this. Actually, I'm sorry, let's skip down. Let's go to verse 4. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and not stumble in one point, he is guilty, and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. He's reiterating what Jesus said. You're going to receive judgment with no mercy if you haven't shown mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy is victorious over judgment. And so let's choose to be merciful. Let's choose to show kindness. Let's choose to go, you know what? You deserve me to be mad at you right now. You deserve, and you don't have to say this, but you may be thinking this, you deserve these things, but I'm going to show mercy. I want to be a person that is characterized by mercy, because when I do that, I am more like Jesus, and I am conformed into the image of God. And so let's be people that choose mercy. Amen? Stand to your feet with me tonight. Let's pray. Father, we commit ourselves to you, and we just say we want to be full of mercy, characterized by compassion, kindness, and pity. And Lord, may we never forget that we are just as pitiful as anybody else, and we need you. Every single moment of every single day, God, there is nothing that we could do of our own strength or ability that would pull us up out of the pit other than your hand reaching down and grabbing us and placing our feet upon solid ground. And we say thank you for that tonight. Thank you for the mercy that came in Christ Jesus, and thank you for mercy that triumphs over judgment. And so we choose to show mercy because you delight in showing mercy. And so I pray that we would be a merciful church, we'd be a merciful people, and that we would not show judgment, because Jesus said, judge not lest ye be judged. Lord, we trust that you're the judge. You're just. You know what's best. And so we choose to be merciful people. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you be merciful, and may you obtain mercy, and may you be blessed in everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. We love you.